Hello, and welcome back to Pop a la Carte, episode 35. We are going to try a very special and different feature in which we have a shorter podcast only talking about one or two topics. All right, so we have a special guest in Jessica with us to talk about last week's Magicians finale, which was called Will You Play With Me? So since we have never spoken about the Magicians before on this podcast, it may be a little bit jumbled and include lots of feelings from previous episodes or the season as a whole. So first things first, Jessica, what do you think about the Magician season as a whole?
I think that this is one of the shows that each season keeps getting better and better. I love the whole idea of the key quest, and even plots that didn't seem like they were going somewhere actually at the end went somewhere, and so it's kind of all kind of worked together. There's some things that I didn't like as much. For example, Penny winding up just dying and being like first to be in the library for like eternity, but I thought Margot's storyline was kind of stalling, but it actually worked out in the end, and it became like a good character development for her. So I was really happy for that because I love Margot. And so the whole season kind of really came together, and this season finale was like a big one. So I'm overall really pleased with where the Magician is going.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the season as a whole was really strong for me. And like you said, like every season gets better. And the whole magic is lost and that we have to recover it was really ambitious, but also really well done. Like, how are you going to have a whole season of the Magicians without magic? But they managed it. And some characters that I really would never have thought I would like, named Quentin.
Josh.
I actually... Also Josh! Both of them. I would never have liked them before. But Quentin really grew a lot by the season finale. He was one of the... He was one of the most mature characters that they had.
Yeah, so proud of him. Right. Because I did not like him at all in the beginning, so to see this kind of growth with him is really, really nice.
Yeah, and Josh, like you said, he used to be an annoying little shit, and he still is, but now it's in an affable way. Now I enjoy it.
Yeah. He's an endearing, annoying little shit.
Yeah. Obviously, Julia was the MVP of the season for me. But she's already grown by leaps and bounds. Like, it's unbelievable. Alice sucks. I'm sorry, Alice. But yeah. And I would say that aside from Penny just fucking dying unacceptably, and I refuse to accept, and we can still get him out next season, all right? And we better. Alice's story kind of went nowhere. Like, the whole search for the Niffin thing, that just kind of disappeared. I don't think it was even mentioned. Yeah. Or not search for the Niffin, but you know what I'm saying. Search for all the things she did wrong. Just the Lamprey happened, and then it was done, and then she just meandered. So,
yeah, I think, like, one of the weakest spots of the season was Alice's storyline, because it just went nowhere. And it kind of, like, it feels like a shift in the writer's room to them just not really caring about her as a character. Like, Julia came up in a massive way this season, and Alice is just, like, all over the place, and she doesn't really seem to find, like, a storyline or something that could ground her within. Like, it feels like the rest of the characters are moving forward, and she's just kind of stuck in place.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. So, moving on to the actual episode, the miniest of recaps is just they're on the last phase of the quest to bring magic back. They've got all of their keys. Now they just need to get to the castle at the end of the earth, and Julia, before she goes off to be a goddess, for reals, gives Quentin a little bit of magic so he can do some, you know, achieve some magical feat if his life is in danger. And instead, he immediately uses it to talk to the knight in the castle, who tells him how to get inside. But he has to turn himself in and stay there forever, become the new knight. His friends do not accept this, so once they get inside to battle the mythical monster, which winds up just being, like, a boy asking, will you play with me? Hence the title of the episode. Elliot uses the god-killing bullet to kill the creature, which unleashes all sorts of madness. Alice then betrays everybody, because why not? So Julia's got to stop being a goddess so she can come and save their asses. But the librarians and the people working for them, including fucking Henry Fogg, thanks a lot, asshole, show up because the Fairy Queen gave them the magic they needed by sacrificing herself to be able to get to the castle as well. So everything sucks. They use the siphon to take away magic. And now library controls magic. Which also means, because Alice took a vial from Henry so that she could forget who she was when magic returned, but instead, everyone else forgets and Alice remembers. So Alice is now trapped by the library, and fucking Quentin and everyone doesn't know who they are. They have new names. They don't use magic, except for Elliot, because Elliot is now Will You Play With Me Monster.
So sad.
Yeah. That was the worst. That was so much worse than losing magic. I was like, how did you guys make it worse? But they did. So, here we go.
Your recap just reminded me that of this Denzel Washington movie called Fallen from 1998. And it's, like, the Will You Play With Me Monster, like, it's Elliot thought that he was shooting the monster, but it's actually whatever that golden spirit thing that came out of him. Mm-hmm. And affects people by touch. And in this movie, which Denzel Washington stars in, it's also similar because it's like this fallen angel known as Azazel, I think.
Azazel?
I don't know. A-Z-A-Z-E-L, whatever.
Okay.
But he, you know, he's fallen from heaven, so he's like a demon now. But he, like, jumps by contact, like touching different people. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like this storyline kind of reminds me of that. And it's kind of like really that horror, like, you don't know who this person, like, you think you kill him, but then he's already touched somebody else. He's already moved on, like, to the next body. And so, like, setting up for season 5, mm-hmm. Magicians is going to be, like, really interesting. And I don't even know what happens to the host body once he leaves it. Like, the first guy was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to, like, the knight when he jumped into her? So, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. Backing up. I'm trying to remember now. Well, yeah, I won't. We'll talk about it when we get there, but what you just said now makes me think that I guess that's sort of what the Lamprey was setting up, just in terms of, like, because a Lamprey is another monster where you don't know when it's inside you, right? Yeah. And now they're sort of doing a scarier version of it, maybe? I don't know. We'll see if it's scarier. We'll find out, because we have yet to see its effects, but it started off with another really cool intro. Like, I think The Magicians has done this quite often where they have new and different voiceovers or sort of recaps to get you up to speed with the characters actually participating. So this one was Quentin's turn to tell the story from the final chapter while all the other characters react. Feelings on this opening scene?
I loved it. Like, I love that The Magicians, the show, is having so much fun with the different intros. Like, it reminded me of, I think it was the episode before, when Josh was giving the previously on.
Yes, and that was amazing.
Trying to catch up 23 penny on what has happened. And so that kind of back and forth between them, it just made it, like, really fun and refreshing and not just a typical, this is what happened kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so this one, instead of having, well, they didn't have different characters react as well, but it was mainly the storybook format where you can kind of see, like, the drawings and the characters in the book come to life, and it was just a really cool sequence. So I really like that, you know, that's another thing that I like, that, you know, The Magicians is able to have fun with and show different kinds of storytelling.
Yeah, yeah, whoever animates that storybook is really good. So I would read this book in, like, illustrated picture book form. So if y'all want to make some money, you should make that book. But in the middle of this book, or this chapter reading visualization, Julia is called away from their planning session by Iris, the messenger god, to let her know that now she's a full god because she used her powers so selflessly and awesomely that people are calling her the Lady of the Tree because of the bringing greenery, green, back to Fillory. So now she's got to leave her friends and leave Quentin to finish the quest without her and go off and learn how to build whole new planets. So what did you think about this? Was you're like, yay, full power for Julia, or no, Julia separated?
I love that she got a full-on goddess powers. It's kind of like her storyline is like, you know, like Pokemon or something, like quest where you like gotta catch them all. And she had, like, her quest was like doing all of these good deeds and all this community service that she's doing. She's building up her power, and now she's reached like the final level where she's become like a full god. So goddess, I thought that was great for her. I didn't like that event that she had to be separated, and then kind of like an aside, I don't like that Iris had to be white.
Yeah.
Because a lot of default characters are just, they don't have to be white, but then they are white, and so it's just like another one.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that the magicians could stand to have fewer white people. Especially because many of their main characters who are people of color are not visibly people of color, so just Penny.
Yeah.
Standing just alone. Anyway.
I wouldn't mind if, like, Iris was Asian.
Yeah.
Here, you know, something other than the default standard. Yeah. And I wish that Julia, because isn't the actress, like, part Native American?
Yes.
Or all American?
I don't know how Native American she is, but she is part Native American, yeah.
You know, got his storyline
mm-hmm.
with her also being Native American would have been like even more awesome, but she's not coded that way, so
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
race aside, I do love that she's achieving all these things, and she's being rewarded because she's so selfless, you know, because she uses her powers for good, because usually the people using their powers for good are just constantly beaten down, and the people that are rising in the ranks are the selfish ones and the, you know, ambitious in an evil way ones. So I do like that for once the system works, but I didn't like the separation, and I was more concerned when she achieved this. I was like, this better not be the fucking end of her story. Like, is she going to go off and be a goddess somewhere else? Cause you know, they're not going to follow her on her goddess adventures. So I was... I was very concerned that I wasn't going to see Julia next season. So I'm glad yet not glad about how things turned out. Anyway, while she's off doing her goddess powers. Oh, actually, I will say I liked the farewell with Quentin a lot.
That was really sweet, yeah.
Yeah, their relationship is one of the purest things about the show. Like, there's, you know, season one was obviously the most difficult time for them. But since then, they've really grown and, like, shown how much they're there for each other, even when they're literally not there for each other. So, yay them. Anyway. then there's the whole, like, everyone writes down or calls out the names of gods that they can think of so that they can figure out which one might be the architect. Which I thought was an enjoyable sequence, although it seemed almost too easy for me. Like, after all these quests being so difficult, I guess it makes sense that, like, the last one isn't actually that hard, but I was expecting, like, progressive difficulty, so instead it was just like, oh, Calypso, let's go! speaking of, what did you think of Calypso and her tale?
Well, Lex, going back a little bit mm-hmm. to the actual brainstorming session, I love that Margot was so, like, on top of it, and she's, like, so into, like, Greek mythology, because I think, like, just as a character, her and Elliot as well, mm-hmm. You know, they get underestimated a lot, but she's actually, like, really smart. She's always up on, like, all these different books, and they're back and forth, like, with Buffy metaphors and all that, like, they couldn't actually they wanted to speak, and using, like, TV references and everything shows that they're really smart and really, you know, shouldn't be as underestimated as I think they sometimes are.
Mm-hmm.
So I love she was really on it with, like, finding Calypso, and I thought it was funny that Alice was so annoyed that no one knew how to pronounce the island that they were supposed to be.
Yes! Oh my god, that's right! She's, like, a vein popping in her forehead every time. Oh, man.
But Calypso, I thought she's really pretty, first of all. So whoever the actress it is, she's really pretty. But I also like that she was a designer and an architect. I didn't really like the whole flashbacks, because they look a little bit cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But
that should have been animated, too.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been animated. But I do like her as a character, and the fact that she is in her human life, or her whatever undercover human life, is she is like a designer and an architect. So I thought it was really nice way to incorporate her mythology in a real world kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely, and she definitely seemed to fit in like the real world while also. I like that they keep finding people who seem perfectly normal, but actually are some kind of fucking demigod or, you know, whatever.
Has tail or something.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it works with the sort of like world between worlds situation they've got going on. And it's especially necessary now that there is not magic. So, in Fillory, we had other stuff going on, like Fen having to go out and stop the fairy kidnappers while acting high king of Fillory. So I really like this because I love Fen, and I think she's another character whose story has really grown by leaps and bounds. And so it's really cool to see her as acting high king, and also to see her going actively to save the very people that victimized her in the past. So while it's like, you know, on the one hand, it's like, oh, she shouldn't have to forgive the fairy queen, etc. But on the other hand, it just shows how much love she has in her heart.
And how much of a better person she is. Yeah, you're right. Like, she is another, she's another Josh, not as annoying as Josh was, but she was another kind of periphery character that has progressively moved closer into, like, the inner circle of the main cast. So I love, like, the journey that she's been on,
mm-hmm.
and it's led her all the way up with Margo as High King. Like, she doesn't have to, when she was talking to Elliot and he was telling her that, you know, when they were deposed, and he's like, you know, you can leave and go back home. She's like, well, what am I going to go back home to? And so I like that it seems like with Margo trusting her as acting High King, that, you know, she's part of their family now. So it's really nice to see them bring in these kind of minor characters and bring them closer in like a natural way that doesn't really feel like obvious or anything like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The only thing that I would say I don't like about it, sort of, is that I don't like that Margo doesn't get any time to actually rule her kingdom after she becomes king. But I know it's the finale, she's got other shit to do, and we have seen her rule Fillory for over a season, so it's not like it's never happened before. But yeah, and skipping forward, now she's not even gonna remember who she is, so Fen is basically just hiking now. And I'm like, what? Or does she? So, next scene, Julia is training with Iris to build new planets, but she can't, you know, she's still thinking about her friends and like, oh, she can still feel them. So did you know at this point how it was going to turn out?
I did not. Well, okay, so first of all, I like that scene. So I like them with the umbrellas, mm-hmm. just like chilling in their goddess land. I thought that was really interesting. But I also thought it was kind of weird that Julia was like, I can feel my friends and I feel like I need to help them, but you know, Iris, as a goddess, you're supposed to like answer prayers, and she's like, forget them. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I felt like I knew that she was going to eventually go back to help her friends, because it just really didn't make sense to separate her in the finale from the rest of the group. I didn't know what at that point what she was going to do that would save them, but I felt like I knew that she was going to eventually like, forget you, I'm going to go back and help my friends. I am a goddess, and that is what I've been trained to do.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, it is kind of like, because Iris was like, oh, well, like, once a week we, like, save a sick child or whatever. And I'm like, well, can't this be the once a week that you go and save your friends? But on the other hand, when Iris kept saying, like, oh, well, you could build a world for the fairies, and the fairies can stay there. And it's like, that's exactly what we need right now. If you had built a world for the fairies to stay, the fairies could go there, and then the fairy queen doesn't have to sacrifice herself, and then the librarians don't get the fucking magic to, or the fucking power to go and stop the magicians from getting the magic first, and then season 4 doesn't fucking happen. So, I hate that you gave me this option. Exactly. Well, right. So it's like, but I hate that you gave me this option, and then you were like, no, we're not doing it. So, yes. If they hadn't suggested it, then I wouldn't know how easy the other path would be. But I guess it's sort of like, they kept saying, like, magic is about the hard path. So obviously they're going to take the hardest path possible. Good job. Anyway, that's when Quentin uses his bit of magic to speak to the knight. And the knight explains to him that the monster is, like, far more powerful than you'd ever imagine, and if it got out, it's going to be horrible. And also it needs love and affection, and, you know, you have to play its game. So that will be your job now, Quentin, to babysit this love monster. And then Quentin has to relay this information to his friends. Feelings on this?
I thought it was a good use of his phone a friend. His one magic bullet, because if you don't know what you're dealing with, like, how can you, you know, I don't think it was a stupid decision, like, some of his friends thought, for him to use it to figure out what it is like on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, we were talking about Quentin and his growth, and how this quest has been really good for him. Like, he's really taken it, like, seriously, and it's kind of, like, fillery, but, from season one.
Mm-hmm.
But even more so, because he's been talking about how this quest is supposed to change him as a person, and how at the end, like, he felt like this was something that he needed to do, and I liked that he was willing to be like, this is my turn to sacrifice. Elliot has sacrificed himself. Mm. Alice has sacrificed herself. Why can't it be my turn to sacrifice myself? It's something that I'm voluntarily choosing to do. So I like that from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like that his friends are like, fuck that! Alice and Elliot especially, and Margo as well, are just like, no, we're not doing that. So it kind of, you know, again, it shows what he means to them as well, and how much they have grown in their relationships and in their friend circle, that they're like, we're not going to let you die, so let's come up with a plan fucking B, please.
Yeah, exactly. It is a nice tribute to their friendship and how connected they all are. Like, they are literally connected now through the key, so it's even worse to think about separating from Quentin or leaving him behind. And at the same time, yes, Quentin made the right choice, and Quentin had a good plan that would have saved us all. So you should just listen to Quentin and let him sacrifice himself. And this is the problem with letting him be better this season, because now we would be sad if he did that, when before we would have been like, yes, thank God, it's over. Our national nightmare is over. But anyway. Next up, Fen tracks down Irene and her little traveler dude, who have been kidnapping the fairies, and brings them back to Whitespire. And this is when the fucking fairy queen, instead of helping Fen so that they can resolve the magic issue, because, and Fen even tells her, you know, like, once we get magic back, we'll be able to protect you. So just stall them for, like, 30 minutes while the magicians get their shit together, and then everything will be great. And instead, the fairy queen's like, no, I don't trust y'all, even though y'all have successfully saved my people before, literally just, like, one or two episodes ago, and instead I will just die to protect the fairies. So she sacrificed herself with the promise that no one can ever harm fairies again. And, yeah.
I'm scared. That makes me nervous, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
First, like, I don't even know why Irene decided to go back, like, in the first place, because Fen was there to arrest them, and so, but then they're like, no, we're gonna go, and she's like, well, I have something for you. She's like, oh, okay, cool, let's go. It's just weird to me that they would go voluntarily to the castle, but as far as, like, the fairy queen is concerned, I don't know if it was maybe just, like, guilt or whatever kind of fairy moral dilemma, because she had to break the promise to free her people, so I don't know if it's, like, some kind of whatever for that.
Mm-hmm.
The promise that, or the deal that she made with Irene makes me, like, really, really nervous, because now, and is Irene, like, making this on behalf of, like, the entire human race, because...
I feel like it has to be.
And yeah, and that's my point, like, I didn't agree to this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what if Freeze decide that they are going to start doing, like, weird, violent shit again?
Mm-hmm.
And then now no one can do anything about it because there's this very large, broad, binding contract that Irene made because she's fucking greedy.
Yep.
So I feel like that will come back in a major way in season 5.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So the Fairy Queen fucked us over today and tomorrow. And for the rest of time. And I was just so mad about this. I was like, I can't believe this after everything that we've done for you. We as people. Even though you were so mean. And we were so nice to you. But anyway. But I get, at the same time, like, I get that she's trying to protect her people and whatever. So, like... Yes. And I did like her farewell, like her goodbye. I keep saying farewell. I just think it's just such so elegant. I liked her goodbye with Fen and being like, oh, tears for your enemy, you know? And I wanted Fen to be like, yeah, I'm fucking mad that you ruined everything. But she was not. Fen is wonderful, so. She's better than me. Okay. So... but again, it's another instance of someone literally being like, if we do it this way, everything will work out. And then the other person be like, I want things to be shit, so I am not doing it that way. So another person who wants things to be shit, Alice, asks Henry Fogg, in one of his rare appearances, to give her a vial of, I don't even remember what it was. Like, she's gonna use the fairy bone cocaine in order to... betray her fucking friends, and then when magic returns, she would like that vial so that she can forget all about it and never use magic again because it made her life awful. And Henry gives it to her, probably because he doesn't give a shit because he's betraying them all anyway. So,
yeah,
what did you feel?
So in this part of the episode when she's asking for the vial, because she wants to forget, and she doesn't want to be tempted by magic. I was like, I get it. You know, Alice is like a recovering alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and when magic is turned back on, it's gonna be just everywhere. So, I understood her need to try and fix it
mm-hmm.
with the vial. But, the fact that she needs to fix it with the vial, I'm like, well, that's obviously going to go wrong.
Right.
And not work out the way that she intended it to. Which... You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's like taking like a downer to get rid of your high, right? Like, you're like, I'll just do other drugs. But, but yeah, I was like, I just kind of like, I don't know. Like, as I've said, I think that Alice is probably the weakest character on The Magicians at this point. And it sort of feels like after she sacrificed herself, which was like way back in, what, season one? Like at the end of season one? She sort of has only served the purpose of, like, being a reminder of other people's guilt. Especially Quentin's. So I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know what they're gonna do with her. In this moment, I was like, oh, is it possible that Alice will just take this and then forget and move on to a happier place off my screen? But no. No, that was not the case. Disappointment. That being said, her farewell. Everyone's got farewells. So her kiss with Quentin and her whole little conversation about forgetting him, but also loving him, I thought was one of their better scenes.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet, you know, and I almost, like, you know, remembered their relationship fondly.
Almost. But yeah, and it would have been great as the final cap to their relationship. Just saying, if that had been the end of their relationship, that would have been lovely. A nice bittersweet end, but I guess it'll be back now, because they're both still around. Anyway. You know, Fairy Queen dies, we already know that. She basically tells them, you're gonna regret doing this, and they will regret it, but so will we, as viewers, when it gets awful.
Can I just say that it is super creepy, the idea of snorting another living thing's bones to... get high and use magic. Like, that's the whole concept of fairy snorting.
Yeah, it's really nasty. I don't even snort. Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, like, well, we eat, you know, we eat animals, but it's not, we don't snort them, so. And those animals can't actually talk to us. If they could actually talk to us, we probably would not be eating them. That would be fucked up.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
for arbitrary, you know, moral reasons, but that's what I've decided. Anyway, so we get into this castle, and Quentin is all ready to play, like, fucking cards with the monster, right? And entertain it for eternity. And instead, the kid creepily saying, "Will you play with me?" while walking towards them, gets shot by Elliot and ruins everything, even though Quentin specifically promised that they were not going to pull any bullshit. So I guess we can talk about that before we go into Alice's bullshit.
Yeah, so, yeah. I thought that whole, well, first of all, the boat ride through hell to Underground mm-hmm. Blackspire was really cool. And the whole idea, like, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Calypso, but the idea that it was, like, it's basically the upside down of Fillory, Blackspire, mm-hmm. and so I thought that was kind of cool, and just seeing it visually and them going there was nice, mm-hmm. But the actual scene, I was a little bit upset with Elliot that he shot the monster when that was clearly not something that Quentin had agreed to,
mm-hmm.
And because of what happened next, but I thought that the monster was sufficiently creepy in the sense that when he was talking to the knight, because she went there for her dad,
mm-hmm.
but the guy was not her dad, so I'm thinking, like, you know, and she said that he had killed, like, all the other people in the castle,
mm-hmm.
so I'm thinking, like, already, this guy that's like, will you play with me? Very, like, childlike and everything. So I was really kind of creeped out already.
Mm-hmm.
And Quentin shot, but Elliot shot him. And then I can see, like, in the background, the gold spirit rise up. I'm like, well, that's not good. So it's just kind of like, and then they didn't even really register, or they were just like, oh, okay, she's gone. And so I was like, well, guys, that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
I feel like, at the very least, they could have, like, waited a little bit to see where things would go with the monster. Like, maybe Quentin would be really great at entertaining him.
I want the magic trick.
Yeah, right. Let him try to finish. I'm sure he's got some kind of plan. But but anyway, I had forgotten to mention the Black Spire or White Spire thing, which I thought was a cool little reveal. Like, it was like, oh, it was underneath us the whole time. And the trip down was really cool. Although I will say I was a little bit like, at this point, I was like, how is this monster creepy? Like, y'all have told me that it's really scary and it's killed people and whatnot, but it's literally just a dude asking to play with you. So I don't know, you know, I mean, it could definitely get annoying after a while.
Because it wasn't obviously creepy, mm-hmm. that it made it creepier, because mm-hmm. The knight was obviously, like, scared about, like, you have to be very careful, and, like, all the instructions that she was giving him about handing over this, like, monster baby.
Yeah, yeah.
To his babysitter. It was like, well, how bad can you be? And very, apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because it's like, then he got shot before it got to do it. He got to show us any of its coolness, but later on, it was a little creepier, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yes.
Anyway, Alice then stops them when they're going to put the keys in and they're going to make everything work. She uses her, I don't know, magic snorting abilities to put a spell, basically, to, right, like, destroy the fucking keys. So that was rude. And definitely one-upped Elliot on the rudeness scale.
Yes. I don't know why, when she decided to snort the fairy dust at that moment, I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Because I knew, like, she was about to do some stupid shit. And because I thought, like, she was going to, like, snort the fairy dust and then immediately take the vial. So the fact that she didn't do that, she's doing it in this moment.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be the betrayer and not Elliot shooting the monster. But then after the fact, like, she's short keys. It was like, what was the fucking point of going to Dean Fogg for the vial?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just being like, you know, if I can't have toys, nobody can have toys, kind of thing. Like, you were already going to not remember that magic was a thing anyway, so why are you destroying it for everybody else. That didn't really make sense to me.
Now, I think, and I'm thinking this now, I don't remember if I actually thought this was the case when watching it, but in retrospect, I'm like, because she knew what the library was also planning, maybe she wanted to destroy it for them, too, so they can't control the magic, but her friends also won't get the magic, so maybe she was trying to equalize, because she's like, you're selfish, and the library's selfish, so everyone is selfish but me, selflessly destroying magic, and then forgetting about it. Exactly. So...
I can kind of see that. Like, I feel like with her, because I think that she was with the library, but then afterwards, when she's talking to Quentin, I can't remember what episode or what context was in, but she was like, everybody, there is no good and bad. Everybody's, like, bad or something. Like, she had some kind of, like, nihilistic thought about humanity that nothing is good, so no one deserves anything kind of thing.
Right.
Which I don't even use nihilistic in correct
sense. Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of nihilistic to me. Yeah. So it's like, I could see that, but of course, in doing that, she wound up giving the magic over to the library because of the next thing that happened, which was Julia feeling the distress of her friends that was so strong that she was like, fuck building new worlds, I gotta go. Peace. Gonna save my friends. So she comes back. And kind of wisely recalls what Prometheus did and sort of does it again.
She wasn't even there for that, was she?
No, she was. That's what. That's why I was like, prescient? Is it just like, she just knows? I don't know. So she, because doesn't she actually say, literally say she's doing what Prometheus did? Or did someone else say she?
I think she did say that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was in, like, the goddess book 101, or she knew it because their thoughts
were, she can hear everything. There you go, that's why. She was there in spirit. so she uses her magic, her god powers, to rebuild the keys, and it takes all of her powers, right? She's human again by the end of that.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, a lot of complicated emotions here. What did you think?
First of all, trying to figure out what she was doing, and Ellie was like, she's horcruxing.
Oh, that was beautiful. I'm surprised that he was wrong about what it's called, but yes.
That was really funny. I thought, seeing her do that, it made sense while we had to sit through the Prometheus flashbacks earlier in the episode. So I was sad for her losing her powers, but I also was like, well, maybe she got her powers to give them away. Mm-hmm. And because in some kind of goddess realm that only they understand and we mere mortals do not understand, the lady underground knew that Julia would need this powers to be able to help her friends, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it because, you know, Julia's always wonderful and saves the day, and she's the best, and she's our heroine. But I didn't like it because it makes it me feel like her whole arc of getting powers and getting to this level was just so that she could then be the literal Deus Ex Julia to save the day. And, you know, obviously everything that happens in a show happens for a reason. Like, she can't actually exist for herself out independently of the story. But it made me sad that she was knocked down for that reason. But if she hadn't done that, then she wouldn't be my fave. So,
and I feel like if she hadn't done that, then she wouldn't be like a true goddess. Because, like, you know, the whole season she's been, and I like that she didn't want the power anyway. So she had to overcome the whole history behind where it came from and why she has it. And so it was good for her just to heal her in that sense. So for that, it was, no matter what happened to the power afterwards, that going through that journey was worth it.
Yeah.
But I also think that for, again, I don't know if it was the point all along for her to do that, and maybe that'll pay off in season 5. I don't think she'll ever be, like, a goddess again, but I think that she may, maybe she'll have some, like, friends in, like, goddess places still.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it'll still work out for us in the future. So we'll see. Anyway, the librarians show up when they've stuck the keys in the fountain to bring magic back, and they use the fucking siphon to take magic away from us and give it to the library, and everything is horrible all the time. So obviously we knew this was coming from the moment that Or at least I knew it was coming from the moment that the Fairy Queen sacrificed herself, and that's why I was just mad the second half of the episode. But for me, it just, like, felt like everything was falling into place too perfectly for everything to be not perfect, so I was like...
I'm the opposite, because you saw it coming, I did not see it coming. At least at the Fairy Queen sacrificing herself scene, I thought that everything was just doing something for something else, I don't know, So, the whole her being in on the library plot, which I guess makes sense now because she's selling them fairy dust, but I thought that the fact that the demon escaped was sufficiently enough to be like, well, shit, what's going to happen next? And then, so when the library showed up, I was like, God damn it. I was really upset that one... they siphoned off all the magic, and then two, that they made them, like, force them to, like, forget everything. Yeah, I was upset. They didn't even get to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Oh, back up. When Julia, like, horcruxed herself.
Yeah.
I sped a tiny sliver of Julia pity when he went over to, like, help her because he was concerned for how she was doing. So I didn't think that this was a ship that I needed in my life, but I actually really liked how in love 23 Penny is with Julia, and so it was nice to get to receive that crumb in the finale, because I didn't think it was going
to
go anywhere.
To receive the crumb. Yeah, it was a cute little moment. I mean, I would totally be fine with rescuing other Penny, so he can be with Katie, and then this Penny can also stick around and be with Julia. That's fine by me. But I guess this is as good a time as any to say that I was disappointed that there wasn't really a resolution to, it's just new Penny is just here, I guess, and that's the end of that. Like,
I can't... obviously this is going to be around season 5 because he's the one that forgot, but then, like, what's going on with Library Penny?
Yeah, I guess Penny will still remember, so he might be he might help. You know, him, he should still remember, and so does Alice. So hopefully that'll be something. Yeah, because, like, at the end of the previous episode, wasn't it that Katie found out that her Penny had been replaced? And then there was, like, no emotional resonance in this episode. It was kind of weird. And then, of course...
any of the triangle points.
Exactly. His love for Julia, there was not really, like, a, you know...
Other than him going over and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if she hadn't come back, there would have been nothing, because everyone's farewells were with Quentin, apparently. I guess that was just proof that Quentin is our... Yeah. So, the final section is seeing how Break Bills and the library and Earth, I guess, are without... Or with the new status quo, right, where the library is an annoying bureaucracy that even Henry, who helped them get magic, has to, like, wait in line and sign forms in triplicate in order to get access to magic. Teachers can only have, like, 5-minute classes. Alice is stuck in prison for sort of betraying the library and informs Henry that the monster has gotten out and it could be any of them. Any of them. And yeah, I mean, I guess before we talk about the mains, we can talk about this new library status quo, which is much worse than not even having magic at all.
I know, it sucks. It really sucks. Like, I don't know, and I don't really know what Henry thought that he was getting out of this deal, because, you know, he seemed prepared when he went to the library, because he knew that she was about to be on her bullshit, but the fact that he went through this, and I don't know, because before they did the whole betrayal thing, he was like, we need to talk about our agreement. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really know what that entailed, or whether it was just meant that Alice, it was something for Alice, because, you know, mm-hmm. it was right after that she talked to him. But in this new status quo, I don't know what he won, really. And it just seems like very dystopian world where they have, like, rations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, an ideal situation at all.
Yeah, I was very confused because I also just felt like it lost a lot of its impact, or it was missing its impact, because Henry has been such, like, a minor part of the season, and his connections to the students aren't really very well developed. Like, timeline 23, Henry was in the one episode that he appeared in, seemed to care about the students more than this one. So I wasn't like, oh no. I was just like, ah, fuck. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I felt a little bit betrayed, though. I was like, damn it. Why are you a bastard?
Yeah.
That betrayed your students. For what? Like, what did you get out of it? Nothing, it seems like.
Right. Then we have the actual, you know, glimpse at our magicians in their new worlds, where it's like, Margot is like a...
I think she's just like a social, like a rich socialite.
Yeah, rich socialite, and Josh is her driver. And... Or he picks her up at the airport anyway. And Julia's like
an architect.
Oh, architect. She's an architect. Okay.
Would have done if, like, in, like, I feel like we have to call it, like, season one.
Oh, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Planning to do.
Yeah. And then we've got Katie doing a drug deal, because that's cool. And Penny's like a DJ. So that's interesting. And then Quentin is, I don't know, a hipster. Like a collegiate, an old collegiate, and his name is Brian now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Brian. And Elliot comes up to him and remembers who he actually is. So as soon as he says Quentin instead of Brian, then we know that he is the Will You Play With Me monster. And he says, Will You Play With Me? And his eyes glow red in Quentin's face, and that's the end of the season. So where do you think that's going to go?
I was so upset. Like, okay, well, first, let me back up to the rest of the main cast with Janet and Josh. And I have to, like, I was looking through Tumblr,
mm-hmm.
and I saw someone that had, like, that maybe Margot and Josh are just pretending to mm-hmm. not know who each other are, because it was kind of weird, their interaction, because she's like, you're late, and he's like, me too, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed very kind of like over everything, done with life, kind of look in her eyes. And so this person on Tumblr mentioned that she has a fairy eye, so what happened to the fairy eye? And then Josh is also part werewolf, because
mm-hmm.
of a supernatural STD. So they were already magical creatures before they were forced to forget. So what if they're just pretending
mm-hmm.
not know each other, but they're actually, like, working together. But they have to pretend because they don't know, like, who is part of the library and watching them and all this kind of stuff, which I thought was really, really cool. So that's a good thing to, like, hold on to with Penny. I thought it was a natural choice for him to be a DJ, and I thought that was really cool, but it's a very far and distant career from architect designer, which is where Julia is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy for her that she seems to be doing well off.
Yeah.
So it's not like forgetting made her Katie, who unfortunately is just cannot catch a break at all. So
I know, poor Katie. Her life sucks.
Yeah. Her life does suck. That was the point. Even when she was forced to forget, like, her life still sucks. But the Elliot and Quentin thing really got me, because I was like, it was very, like, brightly lit scene, and Quentin was just seemed really cute, surrounded by all of his books, and then Elliot shows up, and he's like, Quentin, and I was like, oh my god, he remembers! This is gonna be the start of season 5, where he has to, like, convince Quentin that he is...
You really wanted to be season 5 of The Magicians.
Huh?
You really wanted to be season 5.
Season 4?
Yes, you're looking ahead. I like it.
I forgot. But season four. So, like, I'll say this. Season four. And then you got to taste that. Season five. But I thought that, you know, this is going to be great. He remembers. And so he's going to, like, somehow start off the quest in season four to reunite the group. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, you showed me a card trick. I was like, No. And then he's like, will you play with me? And I was just like, oh, God damn it. And it was heartbreaking. I felt very attacked, and I was so upset. And then it ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, like, I do like you mentioned, Julia feels, like, fulfilled and stuff, which is interesting. It's like, obviously she doesn't know that there's a possibility of magic, but I just remember how far off the deep end she went in season one when she couldn't get magic and she knew that it was around. So I guess that's sort of what Alice was hoping for, you know, just being at peace, not having magic, but also not knowing about magic, and then she can finally be happy, maybe. But oh well, she didn't get it. Sucks to be her.
I kind of wonder what she's doing, because, like, she had a deal with the library to be that crazy writer lady that just knows everything and writes it down. And then, so, like, logically, once magic was back, that would still be her job. But it seems like in this situation, whatever Dean Fogg said to the library to renegotiate their deal had to do with Alice being put into library jail instead of being forced to work for the library. So I don't know if he took on her debt, which if he did, that would be, like, less, make him less of a shitty person.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I too, do not know. But, I don't know, it does leave, like, season four is wide open. There's too many places that it can go.
I'm really, like, that person on Tumblr with the Mario Josh theory has raised my hopes, and if that is not the case,
that would be really disappointing. I feel like that's disappointing. Yeah, and I feel like Magicians does like to do that a lot, sort of, you know, turn the expectations on its head. So, like, we know already that Alice knows, and we know already that, or we can assume, we can extrapolate that Penny knows. Plus, he was a traveler anyway, so if Penny still knows, then it would stand to reason that, Julia and Josh also know. But wouldn't it be kind of funny?
Library Penny?
Yeah.
We have two Pennies.
No, yeah, I mean Library Penny. I'm going to call the other Penny Penny 23, okay? He does not matter to me. And I'm just kidding. I love all Pennies equally. And it would just be kind of funny if in the end more of them actually know than not, you know? But I guess it's also interesting, like, last season, no one had magic except for Julia. Julia had a bit of magic, right? So I guess this coming season, you know, like, Alice is in the Julia position?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if I want that, but we'll see. Maybe season four will be her time to shine. She'll finally be a character that I like again.
Well, I'm not sure if she's even going to get out of that cell or wherever she's in, so she could just be stuck in there, and, like, Dean Fogg just goes in randomly for information every now and then. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't... Something in season four is going to have to get her out of her library jail.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Library Penny could get her out.
Ooh, there you go. Library Penny. And
that's a no in the first place. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, unless the cupcake makes you forget, right? Because last time we saw him, he was eating the cupcake, right?
Oh,
and,
shit.
And eating the food in the underworld would make you stay in the underworld.
To be honest, I thought you were making, like, an Alice in Wonderland analogy. You like, you know, eat me and you grow tall, or drink me and grow stronger.
No. But that would be cool.
It would be cool.
Yep. Anyway, so that's our Magician's thoughts, which were longer than the Magician's finale. Yay! So, if you want to read a condensed version of my thoughts, you can go to withanaccent.com, because I wrote up my Magician's finale review, as well as reviews of all the other episodes. And you can also be on the lookout for a totally unrelated show, but Jessica and I will be writing up a Supergirl editorial to come soon, along with Ivy. So you can hear our thoughts on that show, too. And that's all. Until next season, goodbye.